This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, I'm excited about Labor Day weekend. Here's what we have this hour. Somebody has a lot of questions about the history of the country, history of Nazis. Somebody wants to know, well, are we putting too much faith in one man? We'll have that discussion. Where do you send your daughter? People were worried about sending your daughter off to college. Why are we seeing more Dome ads than Trump ads? That illegal immigration stuff. All kinds of things coming up this hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to touch on the illegal immigration thing again. We talked a little bit about it last hour. We talk about it all the time, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on it. But Aurora, Colorado, they're just the latest city in the United States of America to get a bunch of bad publicity. Bad publicity as in they've imported too many illegals and now they're terrorizing people. They have taken over entire apartment complexes there. We now have scum-sucking communists out of Colorado. This is from the Sentinel, Colorado, running cover for it. This is what the headline says. Aurora lawmakers insist, without evidence, Venezuelan gang is responsible for apartment closure. So remember that the system speaks with one voice at all times, from the media to the education system to the United States government to even the people who handle immigration into this country, FBI, big tech companies, you name it. They're all highly, highly invested in the borders staying open, filling up the country with cheap workers, drugs, rapists, murderers, things like that. They're all invested in that. And the only person who really opposes that, wrap your mind around this, is you. Meaning the patriotic American citizen on the right is the only entity left that opposes having an open border. You're the only entity left that believes in sovereignty, the American citizen, that citizenship should mean something, that America is wonderful, and it should be a club where not everyone can get in. You're the only entity left. Every other entity has locked shields, and they're all highly invested in this propaganda campaign to flood your country with rapists and murderers. And essentially what they're doing is trying to drown you out. Just overwhelm you. Water down the country to the point where you can run someone like this and win.
Our country is counting on you. All of you. You are leaders. By the very fact that you all are here in this room, doing what you do at this incredible school, doing it as one big team, understanding all of the different parts that fit together to create a team.
Oh, that was Dome talking to a high school band. Look, that's what they want. Can we flood the country with enough filth? Dumb down the people who are here enough so that they will vote for someone like that. Look, this audio isn't great. I'll play it for you. Actor Ben Stiller, you've heard of him, comedic actor Ben Stiller. He's had some funny movies talking about Dome. And listen to what he says. Listen to his reasoning.
Good. Do you mind answering just a quick question? Why you came and what you like about Harris' platform?
And just very excited about moving forward and all the energy and excitement that's around this movement right now. So that's why I'm here, because it's, you know, time for change and it seems like it's happening.
It's time for change. If in case you couldn't hear the audio, it's time for change. Now you hear that. And you just bash your head off the desk and you rub your forehead and you say, they can't be that stupid, right? Even my wife, you know how my wife isn't really that political. She's obviously a righty, but she's not into politics like I am. I was doing some show prep this morning, looking through some things, and I had that playing really loudly on my phone in the kitchen. And she said, who is that? Did he just say he's voting for Harris because it's time for change? Who is that moron? I know. But that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with. Morons, robots, evil people, and yeah. Dear Wild Dog Daddy. I don't know what that means. Kamala gave me whiplash with all her, MAGA hat stuff. Why do you call Kamala Dome? I'm a newbie. I missed the backstory here. You're not. You didn't miss the backstory. I've never given the backstory. It's up to you to find out why I call her Dome. Jesse, why do blacks tend to vote Democrat? The Lincoln-Douglas debate tells you everything you need to know. Okay, well, let's deal with that. We'll get through a couple more questions here in a moment. But what is the history of this, of black people voting Democrat in the country? Well, you should know it wasn't always this way. And you should know that all people, no matter who they are, no matter what country they're in, no matter the skin color, the religion, all people are susceptible, highly, highly susceptible to bribery. It is human nature. Being susceptible to bribery is human nature. Everyone has understood this throughout history. And something had happened to Democrats. Democrats were looking for new voters. And this is back in LBJ's time, because this whole black people vote Democrat thing, this has not always been this way at all. I've given you this stat before, but I'm going to give it to you again. Did you know that in the 1950s in America, so we're talking segregation era. Oh, no, black people can't eat here. That kind of evil crap. Did you know that in the segregation era, so this should have been a low moment for black people, right? You're a second-class citizen in this country. You're barred from jobs, from restaurants that were treated unjustly. Law enforcement, it was bad. And so for black people in America, that should have been a low moment for them, right? Except 75% of black children were raised in a two-parent home in the 1950s. Did you know that? The black family was together. Mother in the home, father in the home. They were moving out of the Deep South, not all of them, but moving to places like Los Angeles, Detroit, getting involved in the manufacturing sector. And yes, obviously, I know segregation was still around, but black families were beginning to thrive in this country. And then LBJ, Democrats, because they've just kind of always been this way, figured out, hey, wait a minute. What if we just passed a bunch of laws and did a bunch of programs aimed at handouts to the black community? We'll get them switching from Republican to Democrat. We'll get them all voting Democrat. And no, I'm not going to read the famous LBJ quote where he drops an N-bomb on there. I'll paraphrase. He says, I'll have those, use your imagination, I'll have them, what did he say, voting Democrat for 200 years? That was the LBJ quote. And they passed what was known as, you can go look it up, the Great Society. What a name, right? The Great Society. And what it did was it disincentivized black families from being families. It incentivized single motherhood. It incentivized that. Government programs incentivizing that. Welfare programs, handout programs. And if you do that for long enough, you take a, doesn't matter what segment of the population you do, it would work with anybody. You grab a segment of the population and you steal money from the taxpayer and hand money to that segment of the population. You hand it to them en masse. They will eventually, the population can be bribed to be in your corner. Many politicians throughout history has figured this out. If you want the people, if you're in the ghettos of Rome back in the day, and you want the ghetto, whether it be a Jewish ghetto back in the day or a Celtic ghetto, whatever kind of ghettos they would start back then, if you wanted the people to start supporting you and your cause and vote for you, back a wagon up into town and hand out loaves of bread and jugs of wine, and they will vote for you forever. And LBJ was the one who started all that stuff, and it was really bad. And now it's really sad because they have just completely gutted the urban black family in this country. And I do want to stress urban. It's not like that everywhere. It's not like that with everyone. But the urban black community is a disaster in this country. Drugs, abortion, violence, fatherlessness, a never-ending cycle done on purpose by Democrats for the purpose of getting their votes. It worked well. It's bribery. That's why. That's why. All right. Anyway, let's move on and do some other things, shall we? Someone, well, he has a question about Trump and voters and policy, and then we're going to talk about some guy. Where does he send his daughter to college? Before we do those things, let's do this. Fred's having a bit of a rough morning, I should note. Now, I know it's crazy to think that a dog that spoiled could ever have a rough morning, but you see, Ob, she was cleaning the house, and she took his bed, his dog bed, and she moved it over by the front door. You see, this is the kind of thing that causes Fred's anxiety to go through the roof, and he hasn't been okay since. The bed's sitting over there. He doesn't know what's happening. Is someone leaving? This is what we have to deal with, and I have no idea why we love that fluffy idiot the way we do, but we do. I don't know what we'd do without Fred, who we have to comfort at all times. and that's why we give him rough greens. We want that big meathead to be part of our family for as long as humanly possible. And we know Fred does not get nutrition from dog food. He doesn't get vitamins. He doesn't get minerals. He doesn't get antioxidants. Dog food's terrible for your dog. Fred used to throw up all the time. Started pouring rough greens on his food, all natural nutritional supplement. Fred has been healthy for years now, and I owe Rough Greens a debt of gratitude. Thank you. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, if you're surprised at all about this Venezuelan gang taking over the streets of America, do you know why you're surprised? It's because you don't listen to the Jesse Kelly Show with any regularity. What, Chris? Look, I'm not even being my normal, obnoxious, cocky self. We've known about Trende Aragua forever. Remember when Brandon Darby came on this show and gave everyone listening a warning?
Mark my words, my friend, right? Within 6 months, like, and I'll remind you of this because I'm going to be right, and I want to gloat, honestly. I like to gloat. I have an ego, too. Within 6 months, we're going to start seeing media stories about Venezuelan gangs clashing with Mexico-based gangs in San Antonio, Texas, in Dallas, Texas. Right across in Chicago, you're going to start seeing this because what we're doing is we're taking them into our country. When tons of people are paying a cartel or promising to pay a cartel, and they're coming in here, like, it's not like the cartels know everything. They don't have total informational awareness, and they can run everybody through a database and see if they're connected to a gang. And it's easy to do it, but then they're 13 and they have tattoos all over their face, right? But it's not easy to do when it's guys who look like normal young men. Right, who put on their best clothes, they fixed their hair, put a little Vitalis in their hair and combed it, and then showed up at the border after paying for money. They don't know this. So these guys get here and they start interacting and they start trying to move stuff. And maybe they're saying, hey, like, you know, I want to, you know, I know the Zetas or CDN, if you want to let them get away with that name change rebranding effort. It's still the Zetas, Los Zetas. If Los Zetas is there and it's like our territory, and these Venezuelans are going, hey, well, then we'll just deal with your enemies in the Gulf cartel and get some stuff up here and sell it, you know? And that's the kind of stuff that we're starting to see. And it's the stuff that we're going to see a lot more of. Mark my words, Venezuelan gangs, problems in U.S. cities, conflicts with Mexico-based criminal organizations or Mexican-led criminal organizations.
How about that? Trende Aragua has been known on the Jesse Kelly Show for quite some time. Jesse, I realize that when I hear people speak of supporting Trump, they usually reveal that what they truly want is someone who will support them, not that they support the policies of Trump. They express little about what has been lost or what is endangered, except for narrow issues that apply to their personal benefits. In the years of fighting for independence, these would have been our sunshine patriots who came forward only when it suited their convenience and directly served their interest, such as when British troops were encroaching upon their homes, not somewhere else. So I'm going to say this. I brought it up a little bit earlier how the left, the communists, they fight for a bigger cause. They are fighting this huge cultural, spiritual, generational war, and they know they are. And they fight it like it's that. We do not. We focus on one man at a time, one race at a time. This guy, he's going to get elected to this office, and he's going to save me. This guy, he's going to be able to, this dude is going to save me. This election is the most important election ever. If we don't win it, all is lost. And if we do win it, all is saved. Everything on this election. So you've heard me say that before. We talked about it earlier in the show. But it is a very, very, very human nature thing. When things are going poorly, it is a human nature thing to look for someone to save you from a bad situation. That's not a stupid thing. It's not a left, right, middle thing. It's not a modern thing. That is a human being thing. When things are going bad, you find yourself looking for someone to save you. It's what I've warned you always about all politicians. This is not at all unique to Trump. Any and all politicians, you can like them. You can love them. You can cheer for them, donate to them, support them. You should. Go ahead. Please do it. Do it. Do it. I support you. Do it. But don't ever, 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 ever make the mistake of turning any man into a symbol. And that's what the right is so bad at. They'll take someone and turn them into a symbol. And when I say turn them into a symbol, here's what I mean. You'll take somebody, and it doesn't matter what they actually believe or what they want to do, you will take all of your dreams, all of your desires, and in your desperation, you will project those dreams and desires onto them, even if they don't share it, even if they're not going to do it. You will find yourself doing that. And look, again, this is a human nature thing. But you have to guard against that. And it's not actually unique to politicians. People will do this with pastors. Look, the people will probably do this with me. You know, I have a platform here and a radio show and a TV show. And I know you enjoy it. I'm glad about that. Don't do it with me either. Maybe I don't share your views on some things. And when I don't, disagree with me. Don't make me your symbol. Don't make anyone your symbol. You see that a lot with people, especially desperate people. Desperate people do that a lot. Just, again, remember, we are fighting a huge cultural generational war, not one election. One election matters. It matters a lot. It's critically important. It is not the end. Whether we win, whether we lose, it's not the end. All right? All right. The end is when a rocket lands in your lap. That's when the end is. And I just think it's so sad that in this era, in a modern country like Israel, that's how some people still live every day. And it isn't unique to a religion. The Muslims in Israel live through this. The Jews in Israel live through this. The Christians in Israel live through this, this constant threat of terrorism and death and attack. And what's crazy is that because our media is so wrong, so disgusting, most of those people don't think any American cares. But Americans do care. And the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're out there proving that all the time. Emergency food, bomb shelters, armored vehicles, armored ambulances, flak jackets are so critical. IFCJ, that's what they're doing with your donations. They're looking for $150. If you can do that, go to supportifcj.org. Supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You know what I just thought of? This is way dark. I wonder if anyone's ever died on the air. Chris, you think any radio host has ever died on the air? Surely that's happened, right? Well, I've never heard about it, but I was thinking 3 hours a day. So what, Chris? Just hear me out. 3 hours a day. And you're live, you're talking to everyone, talking to the whole country right now. Surely someone is just kind of keeled over, right? What if it happens to me? That'd be awesome. No, what? No, hear me out. Not the dying. No, what do you mean they would never know? Chris, you better not drop it if I start dying. They need to hear every... No, do not drop it and cut to music. No, no. They need to hear it, Chris. It'll be a life experience, and everyone will talk about it. Yes, I want them to hear the 911 call, and it'll be awesome, too. And what a way to go. Who else has done it? I don't think anyone else has ever done it. And it'll make an impact on them. And, Chris, you know what I want is everyone talking about me. And in death, I could have that. If you drop my death, I'm going to be furious. I just want you to know, you're fired if you drop my death. If you drop my death. Hey, Jesse. Why are we being inundated with Kamala advertising and I'm not seeing anything from Trump? She's got more money. A lot more money. We talked about this back during the primary process when all the indictment things were coming down. Democrats in general have more money anyway because Democrat billionaires, communist billionaires, they will hand out large quantities of money without an expectation of return lots of the time. Major Republican donors kind of don't do that. They more tend to think about it in a more logical business sense. Well, wait a minute. Why would I give $100,000 to Trump? How am I going to get that back? What's my return on investment? That it's more of a business way of thinking. Understandable, but either way, Democrats have more money always. That's one. Two. Remember, Trump had to spend vast quantities of PAC money on legal fees because of all the unjust trials they brought. That's a wonderful side benefit. If you're a dirty communist, it's a wonderful side benefit of charging Trump with ridiculous felonies every 15 minutes. It takes so much money to defend yourself, and it just doesn't work. And look, that's one of the things... There's no such thing as a completely fair criminal justice system. This is something that has never existed. It's something societies have struggled with forever. Crime and punishment. How do you handle crime? What's right? What's appropriate? How do you handle judges, juries, criminals? You torture them? You throw them in a cage? You rehab them? What do you do? What's right? What's wrong? Fairness is one of those things that's always been sought and it's never been achieved. And there's all kinds of injustice in our justice system as well. And one of the biggest ones is simple wealth. It's a simple class thing. And, you know, I'm not anti-rich people at all, not anti-poor people. I don't really care what you are. But if you have access to excellent legal representation, it could be the difference in you getting off scot-free and the other guy going to prison for 30 years, just being able to afford a lawyer. If you get in, I want to say this is Texas specific, so don't quote me on the exact number, but let's say you get in some sort of a self-defense shoot. You get, I'm leaving the show tonight, I'm in the parking lot, and there's some dude comes and challenges me, maybe he's got a weapon, maybe I think he's got a weapon, I pull out my Springfield Hellcat Pro and I put two in his chest and one in his head. I get a bad cop, bad DA, or maybe it's a bad shoot, whatever, and I'm in handcuffs, and they decide they're going to charge me with what we'll call it second-degree murder, something like that. Well, that's probably $100,000 or more. Realize that? If I want a good attorney that can get me out of this, $100,000? There are stories everywhere. People will sell their homes, take out second mortgages when you get in criminal stuff. And if you don't have that $100,000, let's say I cap him and I'm flat broke because I'm married, and I cap him because I'm flat broke, well, then I get what? I get a public defender. So instead of the $500 an hour lawyer who gets rich people out of crimes scot-free, I have the public defender who, even if he or she is really hardworking and has a good heart, you're not a public defender if you can go earn $500 an hour somewhere. So I'm probably going to Texas State Prison until my sons are old men. And the difference? Money. I don't have a more simplistic way to put it. Money. How many people, how many dudes are listening to me from lockup right now? How many dudes in prison are listening to me right now and they're in prison because they couldn't afford a really good lawyer? I was actually watching something this morning. I was killing time in the house and I was watching this mafia thing. Actually, Chris sent it to me. I was watching this mafia documentary. Yeah, Chris, it was really good. You weren't lying about that. I was watching this mafia documentary thing, and I won't get into all the details. It's Chicago mob, the outfit, all that stuff. But the guy ends up running into the law. You live a life of crime long enough, you're going to run into the law. And what floored me is when he was going over his legal trouble, I was doing the math in my head. So I had to get a lawyer for this. And then as soon as that was done, I had to go get an appeals lawyer for this. But then I had to go to California and I had to get a lawyer for this. And then I had to get a lawyer for that. And I hate to sound like Chris here, but I'm just sitting there doing the math in my head, thinking to myself, you've got to be financially wiped out. Financially taken for everything you're worth. It's a matter of money. And I don't even remember how we got on this subject, but here we are. Dr. Community College Advisor. Our daughter is a 15-year-old sophomore at an exclusive, demanding all-girls school. Oh, that's a good idea. Chris, you need to get your daughter in an all-girls school so she never talks to boys ever. That's what I'd do if I had a daughter. Anyway, she's an outstanding student, academics, attendance, athletics, etc. I'm terrified to send her off to almost any college, but her interests, medicine, at this point, would require it. I'm wondering if you have any guidance in pointing me to a source that would help eliminate any of the more commie-leaning schools. There's a famous and handsome radio guy who happens to be a world-famous author. I bought his book at jessekellybook.com, who occasionally mentions certain courses, but I'm looking for comprehensive evaluations by trusted sources. Thank you for what you do, making my two-hour commute to and from work the best part of my day. I never miss a podcast. His name is Mark. Okay, so I don't have a specific source, but now I want one, and now I'm going to track one down. Chris, remind me of that. There's got to be a good source of grading colleges out there. I have been approaching the problem this way when it comes to, because I'm dealing with this right now. I have a 15-year-old, and he's talking like he might want to go to college. Last I talked to him, I had him talked into being an electrician to the trades. But what if he ends up going to college? So what do you do? Where do you send him? Well, you have a couple options that are obvious options. Hillsdale College would be my number one, but I'm not alone. The problem is I had a chance to talk to Hillsdale, some Hillsdale folks. They were at that thing. I had to go. Remember I had that meeting with the suits a few weeks ago, and there were a bunch of advertisers there and it was fun, but Hillsdale was there, and they don't advertise with the show or anything like that, but I love Hillsdale. So my wife and I were talking to them. And of course we're doing the best we can to suck up so we can get our kids into college there one day. And we flat out asked them, hey, what's the waiting list like? And they it was two of them, and they just looked at each other and kind of looked at us and gave us the old, it's pretty long. So if you can, send her to Hillsdale. Let's assume you can't. There's Liberty University, supposed to be wonderful. There are, you know what? I'm up against the clock. Let's discuss this in a little more depth because I know how I'm going to do it. I'm not telling you that's the right way, but I know how I'm going to do it if my kid breaks my heart and tells me, Dad, I want to go to college. So I'll have that discussion in a moment. I'll tell you what I am discussing with them now already. I'm telling them they need to purchase things they can touch and feel when it comes to investing, because they're already starting to ask me, Dad, what do I do with my money? And I said, you don't have any money. And they said, well, when I get older and I get a job, I'm going to have money. So I said, well, tangible things, hard assets, things you can touch and feel, land, precious metals, real estate, land, precious metals, real estate, over and over and over again. Done For You Real Estate will get you started on real estate. In fact, they're the only one you ever need to talk to. They will find you the best properties in the best markets. They vet everything. They handle the financing. They handle the closing. They even handle the rental process. This is so normal people can begin putting their money with something tangible. You'll start out with a house, and it just may end up ballooning into a lot more. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out how. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Email away, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Someone wants to talk about early voting. Someone wants to talk about RV sales. We have a bunch of stuff we still have to get to. The guy asked, though, his 15-year-old daughter wants to go to college, wants to be in medicine. What do you do? What do you do? So I'm just going to tell you my plan. My plan. Obviously, step number one is try to get them into Hillsdale College or Liberty University, something like that. If I can't do that, and let's be honest, they're my kids. They're probably not going to get into a good school. My plan is to keep them. Gosh, I sound terrible now. I've totally changed my tune on this. I want to keep them with me or close to me, and have them go to a community or junior college in my area to get as many credits as they possibly can at a reasonable price, I might point out, to get as many credits as they possibly can while living at home. This actually isn't just to save money, although that's a nice side benefit of it. This is so I have more years with their minds in the development stage. Part of the reason people are losing their daughters at college so quickly is at 18, you are not grown yet. Physically, you're grown, but your mind is still growing. Women and dudes, it's just that women are much more susceptible to social contagions than dudes are. Dudes are more prone to rebel. Women are more prone to conform. Look, I'm going to do this with my sons, so I would definitely do this if I had a daughter. If I can't keep her away from college, or because she needs to go to college for whatever, for medicine or whatever she wants to do, I am at least going to keep her close to me for as long as humanly possible. Remember, it is a colossal waste of money, a huge waste of money, if you don't have to spend four-year college money when all you want is to graduate from that college. It's crazy. And I'm not the only one who says stuff like this. You got all kinds of billionaires, even idiot ones like Mark Cuban, who say, why in the world would you pay a fortune to go to some Ivy League school when a state college would do you just fine? So my plan is to try to get my boys into trade school first. If they're demanding university or college, okay, like I said, Hillsdale, whatever. But I'm going to try to keep them close to me. I'm going to try to keep them, frankly, inside the home if I can, or I don't know how anyone's going to be able to afford an apartment these days. I'm so floored by the prices now. I'm so definitely not homes. I just saw today home ownership or pending home sales is the lowest ever on record right now. People can't afford it. Yeah, Chris, what were you saying? What? That's what I want to do. Chris said, build a Kelly compound. Dude, I want a Kelly compound. I do. I don't want to mow it, though, per se. I'm not. Oh, come on. I don't want to mow anymore, Chris. I don't want to mow. I'm so tired of mowing. A lot of dudes like to mow. I don't like to mow. What? Okay, that is a good point. Chris said I wouldn't have a push mower. That's all my dad ever got me when I was a kid. He said you'd have a big, sweet tractor with an attachment on the back of it. No, I'm not going to drink while I do it, Chris. That's how you end up with a messed up lawn and a missing foot. I'm not going to. What? What is wrong with you? No, I'm going to throw on. You know what I'll throw on? The Jesse Kelly Show in my ear. Why are you shaking your head? And I'll listen to that and it'll make the time go by really fast. That's a good point. But I do. I've told you before, that's what I want is a compound. I want one. Now, that's a lot of money. It's easy to say that. Where do you even get a compound? How big do you want your compound to be? 100 acres, 5 acres. I don't know, but I would. I used to be the kick your boys out of the house at 18 guy. I was that guy forever. As I've watched this world turn into Sodom and Gomorrah in front of my eyes, I've completely changed my tune on that. I will, if I can afford it, I'm going to build them their own house somewhere close to me, raise a family on there, drop the grandkids off with me whenever you have them. Please, no rush, boys. Get married first, I'm begging you. Other than that, live close to dad. I've got all the guns and the ammunition. I've got the food. I've got everything you need. Just come on over to my house. And even better, I've got cell phone service everywhere I go because of Pure Talk. What, Chris? I do. Pure Talk. Pure Talk, they're on this amazing 5G network. People think when they're switching, they're going to start dropping calls. I can't have some different cell phone. I need Verizon. No, you don't. Pure Talk doesn't sacrifice a thing. You get to keep your phone, keep your number. If you want a new phone, new number, they do that too. Discounts and all the fancy new phones. You'll save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. And you do not sacrifice coverage. And probably the best part of Pure Talk is speaking to people who speak English on the phone. They hire Americans right here in the United States of America. No one does that anymore. Switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Jesse, all this talk about early voting and banking as many early votes as possible has me wondering about something. Who has access to the numbers of votes and who they are voting for? Who has access to the score before the actual day of the election? Okay, so let me explain this. It's not that they have access to the numbers before election day. On election day, you know how right when the polls close, all of a sudden we'll have, boom, this big gob of results will come in. Why? Those are the early voting ballots. That's all the early voting stuff that gets tallied immediately. It's the first stuff in, it's sitting there, and then boom, it gets tallied. Now, I don't want to act like they don't know how those votes are going to go. They mostly do because they know where the votes came from. So if you know you have 10,000 votes from my neighborhood, you understand that's going to be a heavily, heavily Republican pile of votes. If you have 10,000 votes from downtown Houston, those are going to be communist votes. It's location, location, location. In fact, when you're watching on election night, as we all will be, when you're watching on election night, and you'd start to wonder why they're calling races. We're calling this one for this guy. And you'll look at the screen and you'll think to yourself, wait a minute. Only like 50% of the counties have even reported. How could they call that race? Well, if we'll make this about Trump and Dome. If Trump is up by 1 point and they're doing, what's a red state? Tennessee. And they've got 50% of the counties have reported in. And they know the other 50% of counties they still have to count are all red counties. If they've gone through all the blue ones and it's close or Trump's slightly ahead and all the red ones now have to be counted, you can reliably and reasonably call the race for Trump in that moment. It's, you know what counties are still to come. And while you may not have the exact vote totals, you know, hey, that county is going to vote that way. That county's probably going to vote that way. You know certain things. Did that explain it? I know it did. I'm great at that. What, Chris? We still have an hour left of all this fun. You ready for that? Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.